When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chess.
CeCe right back out with it to McLeod. He'll come in on the left wing. He'll shoot it. Glove save. Georgiev rebound. Scores! Evander Kane followed it up.
Evander Kane breaking a 21-game goalless drought. A big goal putting the Oilers up 4-2 with 1.3 seconds left in the second period. He would add another in the third. Connor McDavid also scored twice. The Oilers beat the Avalanche 6-2, and for the fifth straight season, the Edmonton Oilers are going to the playoffs. A spot is clinched tonight. I was just reading out some of the facts the NHL put out about the Oilers getting in. They become the 20th team in NHL history and the 12th in the past 30 years to reach the playoffs after being 10 or more points out of the playoffs at any point in the season. The Oilers were exactly 10 points out at U.S. Thanksgiving. But yes, now going to the Stanley Cup playoffs for the fifth consecutive season. Thanks a lot for joining us. Happy Friday. It's 10 o'clock. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reid Wilkins for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Entertaining game tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. 2-2 after the first. Matthias Ekholm scoring a goal in the second period. He's been incredible lately. He was given the Molson Cup for the month of March before this game, and he continues to roll along. He had another good game. He had a big hit on Mikko Rantanen early in the second period. Rantanen did not return to the game, so Ekholm with a goal that was reviewed for good old goalie interference, and Rob and I will talk about that as we move along tonight, but the Oilers didn't look back after that as they go to 46-24-5 on the season. They're 26-8-3 at home, so Rob, my early season implorations of them to win a single game were taken seriously, as they rarely lose on home ice anymore.
Well, they've done it 48 times, but in those single games.
46. That's 46? The after 48.
Oh, but, darn it.
But, well, yeah, but they'd only had two or three when we were talking about that. But they took care of business today, certainly responded after the poor game against Dallas. I thought up and down the lineup, everybody played pretty well. Skinner made the saves that he needed to, and it adds up to a 6-2 win.
They were the better of the two teams. They played a tired team that lost one of their best players early. But even at that point, the Oilers were the better team, getting the better chances. Skinner made saves when he had to. You talked about it at the end of one of the periods where Skinner shorthanded breakaway. He made a save on. Even at the end, I mean, it was nothing time. The game was over, but the Avs got three or four good chances in the last 6 minutes. Skinner made the saves. It didn't mean anything on the scoreboard, but it sure is a good confidence builder when you're making big saves, even when the game is over and done with. So this was a game that the Oilers from top to bottom, their best in Dallas, their best players did not have a good night. Tonight, against MacKinnon and the Colorado Avalanche, the Oilers' best players were very good from top to bottom, and they're role players. They get it. You get three goals out of your third line, you're normally going to find yourself with a win at the end of the night. So those goals were big for Kane, another goal for Perry, and then Edmonton Oilers get a big win after a disappointing couple of games on the road.
Yeah, the Avalanche just said on about an hour ago that Rantanen not returning with an upper body injury. We'll see if we get any more information here after the game, but
he's concussed.
Big part of their team. So.
Yeah, he struggled getting up. His legs were not underneath him, need to be helped off the ice. He banged his face off the ice. It was a hard hit. Ekholm is a big man, and he hit Rantanen twice today. Both times went Rantanen down, and unfortunately for Rantanen on the second one, his head banged off the ice, and his eyes went rolled back, and You don't want to, whether he wanted to play or not, you do not let your star player come back in a game at this point. They want him ready for the playoffs.
6-2, the Oilers win it over the Avalanche, and they get six goals, Rob, without a power play goal for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. Edmonton 0-5 on the power play. Avs were 0-3, but Edmonton 0-5.
Yeah, they had a couple looks. I thought the Avs, though, did a pretty good job killing. I thought they were aggressive at the right times. They first forced some turnovers. I mean, Leon twice had wide-open shots that could have gone in. Connor missed a couple shots that could have gone in. He's saving those. You didn't need them tonight. 5-on-5, you were the much better team. Georgie the fifth, it's funny, he made two or three great saves, like diving across, glove hand saves. Then he probably let in three or four, well, three for sure that he should have stopped. And the one that killed the killed the Avalanche was at the end of the second period. McLeod shoots it on net. That is an easy save for Georgie the fifth. He catches that. Period is over, and the Avs go to the third, just down one. Yep. And there's a bit of belief. The legs aren't quite as tired, but dropping that puck off of Kane and into the net, that was a killer. That was the end of the night for the Avalanche. That was just too much for their tired legs to overcome.
Yeah, that's a shot where McLeod says, well, this period's almost over. I might as well try something. And Kane is saying, the period's almost over. I might as well just see what. Because McLeod, if there's 10 seconds left in the period, even maybe five, McLeod doesn't shoot from that range.
No, he's going to try to get closer.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is the last time these two teams played, a lot was made of the Oilers kind of quitting on a play at the end of a period and the Avalanche finishing it to the end. McKinnon gets it out in front for a big goal. Was it Lekkonen that scored it on that?
Oh, Lekkonen
got that. So they finished the play where the Oilers didn't. Tonight it was the same thing. Middlestat in the middle of the ice, period's more or less over. McLeod just lifts his stick. Middlestat just, oh, okay. And then they walk in and it was just almost as though the Avs kind of quit on the play. But the Oilers didn't. They finished strong. McLeod puts it on net. Not thinking he's going to score, but you just never know. And I thought that Evander Kane, who I thought had a really tough first period, he got pulled off the power play in the first period because of two or three errant passes. And he went and there's two ways you can go when things aren't going your way. You can sit and pout about it, or you can get angry and go out and make a difference. And now that Evander Kane in the final 40 minutes was very good, he and his line mates were the best line in this hockey game.
6-2, the Oilers win it, so the Japanese Village goal light is activated on 630ched.com. Head there now, print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village. Save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For details, visit jvedmonton.ca. Whenever the Oilers score five or more, we turn on the good old Japanese Village goal light. And Leon Draisaitl, two assists tonight, so on the one play, he gets his 100th point of the season. And then on the Ekholm goal, he gets his 500th career assist.
That's not a bad night. I guess when you score and set up plays as often as he does, there's always going to be a night where you get accolades and you get your name and picture on the Jumbotron with something special that you did. I mean, it was, again, Draisaitl, like all his teammates in this hockey game, very strong tonight and a nice bounce back from a very poor performance in Dallas a couple days ago.
Okay, let's talk about goalie interference. So the winning goal tonight, Ekholm from Draisaitl and Bouchard at 8:55 of the second period. So good little give and go with Ekholm, who's playing maybe as well as he ever has. Shockingly tonight, he actually got beat along the wall, which virtually never happens, but he had another really good game. So he's driving down the middle, gets it to Draisaitl on the right side, and just, to me, the look of a confident player. I'm going to the net. I'm going to handle the puck. I'm going to keep going. So he gets the puck, doesn't really get much of a shot on net. He continues going towards the net. I mean, he was going perpendicular to the icing line. And all of a sudden, the puck's in. Okay, great. Everybody's happy. And then you and I look at each other. Wait a minute. You know, Bob and Cam were talking. Did he kick it? Whatever happened. So the Avalanche challenge for goalie interference. So why did that stand? Because I get it. A lot of people might say, well, wasn't there more contact than Hyman in St. Louis?
Oh, no, there was.
There was. So it's a valid question. The reason, and I mentioned during the second intermission, I was texting with John Shannon about it too. The reason that goal stood, the best we can break it down, was players are allowed to compete for a puck in the crease. And it even says that in the rule book, that if a goalie is jostled in the process of, say, he's reaching for a puck and a player is reaching for the puck, that happens. A puck in the crease, an offensive player can try to score on. So that puck's in the crease. Georgie the Fifth saves it. Ekholm keeps going. There's contact. The Georgie is spun a little bit. The puck goes in. So Ekholm's allowed to pursue the puck into the crease. There was probably enough back pressure from, I think that was Lehkonen on that one too, for them to say, okay, he's maybe not forcing Ekholm into the crease, but he's not giving Ekholm also a way out or an easy way to stop. And there was also contact on Georgiev's foot outside the crease as well as in. So I think when they looked at all that, they said, you know, Ekholm's pursuing the puck, driving the net. We can't call it off.
Well, and I haven't seen a good enough angle. My guess is the contact was outside the blue crease, and in that case, there's you don't disallow it. I mean, he's allowed to skate towards. If the goalie's outside the crease and you're skating forward, it's fine. And also, I don't even know how the puck went in. It almost looked like in one of the replays that the Colorado Avalanche player shot it in his own net. I mean, every time I looked, I was trying to find the foot against the pad, and then never found where the puck went. If his foot was in the crease, and the other thing too is when a goalie, you said before, if a goalie is touched in the crease and then someone shoots the puck in, well, the puck didn't get shot in afterwards. So the puck actually was part of the same play of Ekholm going to the net. Again, I thought it was going to be no goal. I was surprised because Hyman was very, very subtle. This one was much more aggressive. I thought it was worth the try by the Avalanche. It didn't work out for them, and that ended up being the game-winning goal. So Georgie the Fifth, again, on that one, if we just take it to another, he's got to stop that. That was another goal that should have been stopped tonight. Georgie the Fifth, who, again, is a question mark for the Colorado Avalanche and will be until they win with them. I thought he had an off game, and Stuart Skinner is by far the better goaltender.
All right, let's go down to the Hall of Fame room. Here's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch.
Your overall game tonight.
I liked all four lines. I thought they contributed. Our six defensemen played well. And obviously Skins has just always been very solid for us. But, you know, getting depth scoring has always been an issue for most of the season. You know, McLeod line chips in with three goals. So I thought that's probably the highlight for me of getting that line playing well.
That line has been around it for a while. Just obviously Vander Kane unable to score. What does it mean for your team when you look at the makeup of that line and the potential of what they can bring for down the stretch?
A little bit of everything. You know, hard to handle, especially down low with Barry and Kane control the puck. And then the plays McLeod can make. Tonight looked so confident, making a lot of plays, transporting the puck, nice passes. But also with his speed to break things up, getting in on the forecheck and able to work to get the puck back. So, you know, it's a good start, obviously, with three goals tonight, but hopefully they can continue doing that.
Again, Matthias Ekholm leaves his fingerprints all over the game. What do you think about this guy down the stretch here? It seems like he's giving you guys exactly what you've been looking for.
Quite a trade by Ken. That's what that is. To get him and have the plus minus that he's had and the impact that he's had on this team. And where he's whether contributing offensively, the physical play that he has, defensive, you know, it's, you know, if I was opposing forward on the playing against him, I wouldn't feel very comfortable. Just one, I'm pretty tough to get the puck back from him, and he's going to check me pretty hard. So, you know, he's been playing outstanding. You see, obviously, you get a little recognition before the game, and well deserved for him.
Speaking of being hard to play against, what did you make of that hit? That kind of maybe turned the tempo of the game a little bit in your favor.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, it led with the shoulder and Grace's shoulder. Not sure where the final contact was, but, you know, he's a physical guy and I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Jason referenced the play of your McLeod line. CC and Nurse have had some challenges at times, but tonight, Cody, I mean, I don't know what you thought, but that tandem's best game in a while. And they were just, was there a message to be more assertive and take away time and space and close gap defensively, because they played with it, I think, a more direct purpose tonight?
Well, I think all our players responded after the game against Dallas. It was a bad game and everyone felt bad about it, and I think we've always responded after a poor performance, and tonight was a good response from a lot of guys. And as you said, Cody and Darnell were really good. They moved the puck, they checked well, they're moving. They might have been. I was just impressed with all our sets of defensemen, but really impressed with those two.
This question from Cam Tate. Coming out of that Dallas game, he was asking if there was anything kind of specific that you talked to the group about heading into this one, or if you felt like the effort tonight kind of came from within.
I think we talked about a lot of things, but I think it was mostly on just playing as a team, doing your job when you're on the ice, and not worrying about things you can't control. Whether what's the opposition's doing, what the referee's calling, how much ice time you're getting, whatever it is, it's just do your job. And, you know, today I just, we're very impressed with the guys, and we're getting down to crunch time, hitting the end of our regular season, and we're going to get into playoffs, and if we're going to have success, we just have to worry about what our jobs are when we're on the ice.
You put Drysdale and McDavid together in a pretty hard match against MacKinnon there. What did you see from them tonight? And maybe just a comment on, you know, the way those two players take those types of challenges offensively and defensively.
Yeah, no, I think any time you've got, I'm sure Jared would say the same thing I'm saying, is your best players like that challenge, and they always step up and play well against the other team's best players. And you've got MacKinnon, who's having an outstanding season, outstanding player and career. You know, our guys see that, and they want, whether it's Connor or Leon, they want to challenge themselves and have the better game. And, you know, I was impressed with our top line tonight.
Chris, considering where this team was when you took over and that hole that you were in, to be able to clinch a playoff spot with 7 games to go, I guess, what does that mean? What does that say about the group? And I guess, what does that mean for the group?
Yeah, we were talking about this after the game tonight, about clinching, and we talked about the playoffs. We were in Washington, and we talked about what we needed to get there. We ultimately said, you know, if we go 5-3 in 8-game segments, you know, we're going to be in a pretty good position to get into the playoffs. And, you know, we have a lot of confidence that we should be able to get there. And, you know, to get there this soon, I think that may be a little surprising. But, you know, when you're pulling off 16-game winning streaks, another 8-game winning streak, they made up a lot of ground in a short period of time. So, you know, they worked for it. It wasn't easy. And they should be very proud of what they accomplished.
Chris, please correct me if I'm misremembering here, but I seem to recall early on when you got this job, you said that playing McDavid and Draisaitl together was more of your preference. Obviously, you try different things at different times, but does the added depth on this team give you more confidence to want to go to those two on a more regular basis than maybe you would otherwise?
I think it's going to play game to game. Obviously, those two are dynamic, and they're very dangerous to score a goal every time they're on the ice. But I think a lot of it will determine on who our opposition is, where we're playing, do we have the last change, and how's everyone else playing. If there's other lines that are underwater and aren't playing well, then we'll probably have to rearrange things. But, you know, the way the other three lines play tonight, I'm more inclined to keep those guys together. But like I said, it's going to be fluctuate. Thank you.
That is Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly AIA.com/nonstop. 6-2 Oilers beat the Avalanche. They're going to the playoffs for 5 consecutive seasons. That's half a decade.
That's we know what a decade of not going to the playoffs is like, so this is way more fun, deservedly so. And now it's just a matter over the last, what do we have left, 7 games left, to decide who they're playing in the first round, and I'm pretty...
Well, we know who it likely is.
Although I've been watching, the Vegas Golden Knights were up 4-1 in the third. It's now 4-3 as Phoenix has scored two goals. I don't know if you know, remember a guy named Bjugstad. He just scored an absolutely beautiful goal for the Arizona Coyotes.
Is he up to 22 goals?
He's a good hockey player. He's a right-handed Bjugstad. Centerman that would be very... the teams would covet at
Josh
the trade
Doan
deadline.
Josh Doan scored.
Yeah, he did well. Actually, the Vegas Golden Knights scored on themselves. He was the last one to touch it. But Shane's son.
Duke says up to 22.
No, that's pretty good. They just called a timeout, the Golden Knights. But it's probably going to be the Golden Knights unless they absolutely blow this one to Arizona. But the Oilers want to continue to play well and stay healthy going down the stretch here. As we saw on the opposite side tonight, a very important player for the Colorado Avalanche get hurt. You do not want to see that around playoff time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how he is. I mean, again, maybe it's just like you said, concussion. No, but the thing is with concussions, you don't know.
Oh, I've played with guys whose careers have ended with concussions. I've also played with guys who got concussed and they skated the next day. I mean, they certainly weren't going to let him come back in this. Oh, and I'm watching it. Vegas just got scored on again. The Arizona Coyotes have scored three goals in the last, I'm going to guess, minute and a half, 2 minutes tops. It's 4-4. If Vegas does lose this game to Arizona, that will allow that. I mean, the LA Kings
is only a point behind. It's not.
I know.
As if, yeah,
so this was a sure thing right off the faceoff. Arizona got scored on against.
Just see Elliot Friedman tweeting out. Jared Bednar says Rantanen will be under evaluation for a while.
Yeah. Well,
now that could be coach speak for an hour or a week.
Well, I mean, he's concussed. He could not get to the dressing room on his own. The referee had to help him to the trainer. Then the trainer had to take him down the... He had wobbly legs. That's a guy that was knocked out. So it's unfortunate, but his face banged off the ice. He got hit hard, and then the head continued on and hit off the ice. So you hope it's just something that's minor, but we've seen guys like Sidney Crosby, half a year for them to come back. I hope it's nothing like that. He is too important a player to Colorado and certainly too important player to this league. And you don't want anyone being injured. And this is an important time of the year as well.
No, but again, just a textbook body check by Ekman.
It was. Yeah, it was a good hit.
Nothing that...
Big man on big man. Yeah. It was good. It was clean. It just... Ekholm's huge. And when he hits you... I mean, you don't see a lot of open ice hits in the National Hockey League anymore. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So that was an open ice hit. And Rantanen twice tonight got hit hard by Ekholm. That one did damage, and you just hope it's not too much damage.
So what are your thoughts? So Jack Johnson tried to fight Ekholm. Ekholm said, no. Johnson drops his glove and gets unsportsmanlike.
Well, it's funny when it's a player on your team gets run over, and you go after the guy, and he doesn't fight. Well, why won't he fight? He's got to fight. But when it's your guy, you're like, well, he shouldn't have to fight. It's a clean hit.
Yeah.
So I've always been one, you don't have to fight. I don't care. If someone runs Connor McDavid and Kane goes after him, you don't have to fight. That's not, if it's a clean hit, there's nothing wrong with that. So Ekholm's not a fighter. So no, he doesn't have to fight. It was a clean hit. He'd rather stay in the game. I don't want any of my players fighting right now. We're 2 weeks away from the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't want someone breaking a hand. Well, didn't Taylor Hall, he got into a fight his rookie season, wasn't his rookie year.
Well,
he blew his knee out.
Ankle.
So, no, there's no reason to fight there. It was a clean hit, but I do give credit to Jack Johnson. He went after. I still can't believe they called a penalty. Jack Johnson really did nothing on that one other than drop his glove.
I think that's why they gave him on Sportsmanlike.
But I'm like, but even still, we see that all the time.
They could have just said, okay, just get off the ice.
I mean, you just lost one of your best players. You came over. You didn't cross him. You didn't sucker him. You dropped your glove to ask him to fight. I thought that was a weak call on the referees. To me, it was the damage was already done. Rantanen's leaving the game. But it was just a weird play. I didn't hear a whistle. McDavid was standing by himself in front of the net. He had a breakaway. There was no Colorado Avalanche anywhere. But the Edmonton Oilers came out of this without a power play goal, but six even strengthers for a big win against Colorado Avalanche.
6-2 is the final. So thanks to James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. A $600 donation to 630 Chet Santa's Anonymous. They are filling the net with $100 every time the Oilers score. Okay, we've been talking a lot about Matthias Ekholm. You're going to hear from him tonight. Also from Evander Kane, who ends his goalless drought, and also from Leon Draisaitl, who has another 100-point season on his resume. You can get in touch, 780-496-0063. That's the hotline powered by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. We're live in Studio 99. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chan.
Ekholm on the right wing to Bouchard. Bouchard's pass hit Drouin, then over the stick of McKinnon. It does come out. Ekholm on the right wing to Draisaitl. Over the Colorado line to Ekholm. He'll get it towards the net. Scores! Matthias Ekholm sneaks it through the five hole. And Edmonton is up 3-2.
Well, here we're going to need to check here. It's whether or not Ekholm directed that puck with his skate. They're looking at it down at the Colorado bench.
They're going to challenge it for goalie interference, I'm guessing.
Colorado has elected to use their coach's challenge for goaltender interference. After the coach's challenge, it's determined that we have a good goal on the ice. Colorado will be charged a bench minor for a delay of game.
Well, how about that? So at 8:55, Matthias Ekholm puts the Oilers up 3-2.
Leon Draisaitl is the second assist of the game.
All right, so that time of the goal is vital because it's the game-winning goal, and I set the line at 10 minutes into the second period of the third period for River Cree Resort and Casino Excitement. Bet on it. Would we have the game-winning goal before or after that? So under was before. Mark took that. And he gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card, as we've seen a lot of overtime between these two teams, but not tonight. Let's go down to the Oilers dressing room, a 6-2 win, and here's the goal scorer and the second star of the game, Matthias Ekholm.
I think the 60-minute effort from everybody, whether it was on the back check, whether it was following plays up on the ice, joining the rush, I thought we had a pretty complete 60 minutes tonight, and it was really nice to see after, obviously, our game in Dallas that we didn't like one bit. So when we play like this, we're tough to handle.
How do you see your hit on Bradwell?
I mean, first of all, I hate to see that he was stumbling getting out of there. I never want to hit anyone so that they get hurt or injured or anything like that. But I've seen the hit about 15 times in intermission. I cannot see anything different that I can do. I think it's a shoulder on shoulder. That's the play happens so fast. I usually just go looking for the puck. I usually don't hit that much. And it just happened to be that he wasn't expecting it, and I thought, I mean, even if you look on the replay, like my skate, I'm stopping right before the hit. Like, I'm not going, I could have gone right through him, but I thought I let up, and still, it's hard for him when he doesn't see me coming, right? So hopefully he'll be all right, but in my opinion, it was a hockey play.
And in that situation, I mean, obviously they're going to try and react. You kind of kept your cool in that moment. You end up on a power play. Like, is it just a matter of not feeling the need to fight after what you feel is a clean hit there?
I feel like every situation is different. Obviously, it's timing of the game. It's obviously who comes and asks me. There's a bunch of factors that goes into that, but I think I saw a quote from, I think it was Chara way back when Boston was going at it with Toronto, and there was a big hit, and he was the first guy there, and the reporter asked, why didn't you jump him? And his answer was, to be a leader in this league and to be a player that plays a lot of minutes, you also got to read the situation, and knowing that we had a power play coming up there, we almost snuck a goal in there, and sometimes that can be as effective as just dropping your gloves for no reason. I thought that the hit was clean. If I hit him in the head, I get it. I gotta respond. I gotta answer the bell and all that stuff. But in my opinion, that's kind of what went through my mind.
When you're on your goal, when you went to replay, what were you thinking? Why?
To be honest, because Leo made an unbelievable pass, and I think for the last 2 seconds of that play, I'm trying to get my stick towards the puck, and I just can't do it because I have somebody climbing on my back. So I'm, I, I can't, I'm trying to move and make a shot, but I can't get a shot off. So in my opinion, I'm getting pushed in there, and I'm not going there. I guess I'm not going right at him. I'm going on the side, but I there was no chance for me to avoid contact at that point. And I think the rule stands that way, where you get pushed in or helped in there, it's supposed to stand. So nice to see it do that.
Because it's making the playoffs with six games left or something like that, considering the way you started. So what does that mean to be able to catch the playoffs market?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, obviously, with the start. And we were just, at that point, we were just looking to, I mean, hopefully we can clinch in the last game. So to have it done right now, to be in a good position going forward here is huge. And it's a big, I guess it's a big testament to the group that when we come together, when we play like we can, you saw a great example of it tonight. We're a tough team to beat. And hopefully we can keep this going and do some damage come the next couple months here.
You got 15 points in, I believe it's like the last 10 games. Does it feel like everything's going right offensively right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I've never been part of anything like this. You saw the goal tonight. Like, it's when those go in, you know you're having some sort of streak or something's going on. So I don't know why it is. It's just I'm trying to play my best and trying to do what I've always been doing, but they just seem to go in a little bit more right now.
Challenging Yossi for all these points.
I think I got 50 left for him, right? I think he's way ahead of me, but I mean, we play a little bit of a different role too. So he's obviously a top, I don't know, 3-4 defenseman in the league. So to even be in the same conversation, I'm happy with that.
But yes, there was a time when playing Connor and Leon together against a team of this caliber might not have been the right call. Why is it different? Why did it work?
Well, at first you got to look at it. They had a back-to-back. And with that, we know that it's hard. It's way harder for them, obviously. But I also do think that you got to look at their lineup, and they have that first line punch, like, that I think separates a lot from their other three lines. And when we put them together, I think we can match that. But I do still think we have some lines that can do damage. We saw tonight with Clouder's line. They played really well. So sometimes I think that's a good thing to have in the back pocket for these kind of matchups. And I thought tonight that paid a really good dividends, obviously.
Mattias Ekholm, and he could coach, understands the line combinations and the matching. You know, he's always well-spoken. He's playing great. He's the second star tonight. Rob McDavid with a couple of goals. The first star, Kane with a couple of goals. The third star, we give out the fourth star for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. I think we have a few options tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Perry, he's got everything rolling with a nice tip in the beginning. His line was, they were on for 3-4. I thought he had a very good game tonight. Bouchard was good in the hockey game tonight.
I thought Derek Ryan played
Derek
well.
Derek Ryan, I mean, there were no passengers on the Oilers team tonight. This was a solid effort, and you heard Ekholm talk right at the very beginning, like, from everything about this Oiler game tonight. They were tuned into it right from the get-go, and that's a good sign. Playing against good teams, you need to be, and tonight they were.
6-2, the Oilers win it. They have clinched a playoff spot, and the Golden Knights have let a 4-1 lead slip away. The Coyotes now lead 5-4 with 4.5 minutes left in the third.
Hey, in all honesty, I think this game here, if the Vegas Golden Knights don't come back, this could be the difference between the Oilers playing Vegas in the first round or playing the LA Kings. The LA Kings have an incredibly easy schedule the rest of the way. I think they've got 6 games left or 7 games left, only one against a playoff team. The rest are against non-playoff teams. LA could go 5-1 or 6-1, whatever they have. Vegas, much tougher schedule, and this was a game they should win. 4-1 with 11 minutes to go in the third period. They're now losing 5-4.
Checking the out-of-town scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Also, Seattle leading Anaheim 3-1. That's now into the final minute of the third period. 2 goals for Wright in that one?
Shane Wright just called up from the minors, a high draft pick a couple years ago. 2 goals and an assist in the game tonight for Shane Wright.
Flyers, Capitals, and Red Wings all desperate for points in the Eastern playoff race. They all lose. Buffalo beats Philly 4-2. Hurricanes beat the Capitals 4-2, and the Rangers beat the Red Wings 4-3.
There's teams that should have been out of the playoffs a month ago, like the Penguins and the Islanders, who are back in it because the Capitals can't win, the Red Wings can't win.
Yep.
And who was the third team? Philly. I mean, I mean, the Islanders, not only what made the Islanders make the playoffs, they might actually make the playoffs as a top three team in their division now,
yeah,
as might the Penguins, because the Flyers have just absolutely completely fallen off the charts here in the last month.
In the American Hockey League, the Condors trailing Calgary 4-2 with about 8 minutes left in the third period. Gagne and Peterson, the goal scorers for the Oilers farm team. Red Deer advances in the WHL, 4-1 win over Medicine Hat, 5-2 the final tonight in Medicine Hat. Not in the old arena, they're in the new one.
Yeah, I played in the old one. Back to Vegas and Phoenix, it's now 6-4.
Oh, wow.
Arizona.
Okay.
So the Golden Knights are about to fall with a 4-1 lead halfway through the third period. They've given up 5 goals in the last 7.5 minutes.
Women's Worlds, Canada wins 3-0 over Switzerland. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 3-0. Oilers 6-2 winners over the Avalanche here at Rogers Place. We have Keenan on the Certainty Hotline. Keenan, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Very well.
Okay, so I got to say, I'm a little emotional right now. This team is, from when everyone was rolling them out at the beginning of the year, everyone was down on them, and to see the team storm back the last how many games, it's been wild to see. And I'm so happy with the boys, how they can clinch it, especially on my birthday here today. It's amazing to see that it all worked out and to beat Colorado at home. And I just got three words to say. Let's go, Oilers. Here we go. The ride starts now. I'm very happy.
Well, happy birthday, Keenan.
Thank you.
Well, I think the ride started earlier in the season, and it was quite bumpy.
It was. I think the ride's been going for a while. This Oilers team has been very, very good for about 50 games now.
Well, more than
60
that.
Games,
yeah.
Now, whatever it is. They are an elite team in the National Hockey League, one of probably the top 5 or 6. But having said all of that, we in Edmonton know that it does not matter what the Oilers do in the regular season. They can come in 8th and make the playoffs, or they can come in 1st and make the playoffs. They're going to be judged on how far they go in April, May, and June.
Yeah.
That's where they are now in their maturity as a hockey team.
And I think the West is really, I mean, the playoffs are always tough. I mean, it's half the league. You have to be in the top half of the league to get in, so you got to be a pretty good team. But I just think the West is very good this year. I mean, especially when you consider what Nashville has been able to do lately. I was saying on my talk show last night that, you know, people list the contending teams in the West, and you see, like, Vancouver 6th or 7th, and I was like, they've been leading the division since literally day one.
And still still have a chance to win the conference.
Yeah, like, their points percentage, it's, well, they're not doing it, like, Tockett probably still gets coach of the year.
He's my coach of the year. The thing that, if I'm picking 4 teams in the West, I'm picking Dallas, Colorado, and I'm picking Edmonton and Vegas. And the reason I'm picking those 4 teams.
You're disrespecting Rick Tockett.
No, I'm not disrespecting him. Those 4 teams are all proven in the playoffs. The Vancouver Canucks, to me, are a wild card. They are talented enough to go all the way. If Demko is healthy, they have a goaltender that's good enough to carry them all the way. Just nobody knows. The other 4 teams have gone extended periods in the playoffs.
Several rounds.
Yeah,
the last
so that
years,
to me,
yes.
They know what it's like, and we've seen here in Edmonton, it you don't win on the first time. Usually, you have to find your way through it.
Right.
So it's now 7-4 Arizona.
Is it all goals in the third?
Well, they've scored 6 goals in the last.
Oh yeah, it was
4-1 minutes.
After 2. Yeah. Yeah.
6 goals in the last 9 minutes. They just scored an empty netter, and in all honesty, it was looking like a Vegas Edmonton Oilers first round. I believe this loss by the Vegas Golden Knights, I believe this will give it an Edmonton Oilers LA King first round series.
So LA will be a point behind Vegas, and the games played will be even.
The LA Kings have an easy schedule. They play Vancouver and then all non-playoff teams the rest of the year. And Vegas has another game in Edmonton. So Vegas has a tougher schedule to finish the year. I think this is an absolutely huge loss for the Vegas Golden Knights. All having said that, maybe they end up missing the Oilers and play Vancouver in the first round instead.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I think it's more evidence that also it's one game. I mean, 2 nights ago, we're like, oh my God, they lost to Dallas. Well, Vegas just blew a lead to
all teams
that's been out of the playoffs for a while.
Well, I mean, I don't get too high or low on any games. The reason you play 82 games in a season is to get the 16 best teams. Good teams lose to bad teams all the time. And everyone that's, I remember reading articles, you can't give up a two-goal lead in the third period. Yeah, it happens all the time. And the best teams do it. And the Vegas Golden Knights are the defending Stanley Cup champions. They just gave up a three-goal lead with 11 minutes to go against a team that's in the bottom five in the National Hockey League. It happens in the National Hockey League all the time.
780-496-0063. If you want to touch base tonight, we will hear from Evander Kane, who scores twice. We will hear from Leon Draisaitl. The Oilers are playoff bound once again. 6-2 winners over the Avalanche. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Off the boards and out to center ice to McLeod. In on the left. He's got Perry with him. He'll drop it to Kane. Left corner. His pass. Scores! Kane put it towards the net. It went off of Georgiev and in. And Edmonton's up 6-2.
That would be your final tonight as Evander Kane scores. Finally gets two goals. Hadn't scored since February 19th. Here he is.
Your life. How much of a relief is it when you get one, the old adage, no pitchers on the score sheet, it goes in, and how much of a relief was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to end the streak tonight. It seemed like that was the only way it was going to go in, so I'll take it.
Then you score right away after. You guys got a lot of pucks on net tonight, and just like simple plays. Even your first one was McLeod just shoots it on goal. And your second one, you know, 2 weeks ago that probably doesn't go in. That's just, you kind of feel that's how it changes all of a sudden. One goal and now everything kind of goes your way.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. You know, we'll see how tomorrow night goes, and just try to build on it from here.
Tell us about how, you know, you go 20 games, you got breakaways, you got one-timers in the slot, you got backdoor plays wide open, nothing's going in.
And well, I don't know about wide open, Mark.
Whatever, and then you get one in off your whatever it hit to go in. Mm-hmm. Is that how these things tend to go?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it with Brownie too, right? You know, goes off his foot, and then I think, you know, he gets a little hotter in the next 5-6 games. You know, usually when things aren't going your way, you're going to need a bit of a bounce to go your way, and that's what happened.
Did you feel, I mean, goal scoring is a big part of your game, but there's other things that you do too. How do you feel sort of the rest of your game has been rounding into form as you've been sort of waiting for this thing?
Just trying to do what I can, and like I said tonight, it was nice to get on the score sheet.
So, Evander, the start of the season looked pretty dire. The start, you already clinched a playoff spot. How does that make you feel on the team?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, if you look in November, late November, things weren't looking great, but I think as a group, we had the belief that we know we can turn around and get in a role here, and, you know, we did that and clinched the playoff spot, so that's a nice feeling, and now we got to try to win some more games to solidify home ice, and who knows, maybe climb in the standings.
There was a time when maybe putting Connor and Leon together against this kind of opponent might not have been the right call. It seemed to work tonight. Why did it work, and what does it say about this game?
I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not the coach, so you'll have to ask him. But, you know, we've mixed and matched lines all year, and it worked tonight, so that was great. We needed to win.
Brown, one goes off a skate, and he gets a few more. You get one off your leg, and you get one the very next game. Does the guy actually feel different, like, when one goes in like that, or is a weight lifted? Why does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're going double digits while scoring, you know, it's never fun. So however it goes in, you'll take it.
Can you speak to the hit, Holmes hit on Brandon?
Great hit.
I mean, big man.
I,
big men hitting there.
Yeah, usually when two big bodies collide, somebody's going to feel it more than the other guy. And, you know, Ecky's a big, strong guy, and it was a great hockey hit, and, you know, knock one of their top players out of the game.
You guys have been around the net as a line, you, Corey and Ryan, the last few games. What is it? What do you like about the trio that you feel, you know, can really be successful moving forward into the playoffs?
Yeah, guys that, you know, obviously Paris likes to be around the net like I do, and Slaughter, you know, I think he's getting to the net as well, and good with the puck with some speed through the neutral zone. So just trying to find some consistency with whoever you're playing with and some chemistry.
Okay, that's Evander Kane. Yeah, finally gets in the goal column, Rob.
Yeah, he needed it. He's a goal scorer, always has been, prides himself on it. He has had some good looks as of late, and they haven't found the back of the net, and you get frustrated, and it starts to affect other parts of your game, and it's amazing how often long streaks like that end on fluky goals. We talked earlier about Connor Brown. Tonight, Kane just drives the net. Just go hang out there. Nothing bad ever happens when you go hang out in front of the net. Only good things can, and he gets a goal. And just like Connor Brown, hopefully this will open up a little bit of a streak for Kane. Now all of a sudden, he doesn't have the weight of trying to break a streak. Now he can start the opposite. Let's see if I can add to this streak. The Oilers need Evander Kane to be good going through the stretch and into the playoffs. Tonight, he and his line mates were very good.
Okay, we'll get to a couple quick phone calls here. We got Chris. Chris, go ahead, please.
Hey, Reed. Hey, Rob. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Well, first off, I'm going to just say terrific game this was tonight. You know, after, you know, there was a lot of, I don't know if you want to call it overreaction after what happened with the Dallas game, and, you know, it shows how much they were able to stay composed in this game. Like, you know, even when Colorado took the lead afterwards, like, you know, they didn't let it eat at them too much tonight, and got the results. And, you know what, they played a proper game, and, yeah, probably one of their best games of the season. That third line with Kane, McLeod, and Perry, I thought that was well, I mean, the score sheet will definitely say it was their best game, but just, you know, driving to the net, you know, McLeod with his speed and, you know, getting into the spots and the lanes and finding guys through was really good tonight. And one other thing, I know Ekholm's he was excellent tonight as well too, but I will give some love to Nurse tonight too. You know, it was a ugly performance that Dallas game, and I mean, the fans, we knew it, he knew it more so, and I thought he bounced back terrifically tonight, in my opinion.
Yeah, Nurse was very good. The Oilers need a good Darnell Nurse in the playoffs as well, and he's had some struggles since the trade deadline. Tonight, he and his partner Cody Ceci, very good.
All right, we'll go to Sir Robert as well. Sir Robert, go ahead.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Well, obviously, I mean, I like the bounce back after the, I mean, like after the game in Dallas. I mean, like I mean, you know, like I mean, like a lot of people weren't saying it, but I mean, like I mean, like the Dallas game is more of a one-off. I thought, like at least since Knobloch has taken over, we haven't seen a lot of stinkers, if you will, with this team, which is good. But, you know, like tonight overall, I just thought, you know, like there was that, you know, that mentality of, you know, like we could, you know, like we could potentially see this team in the playoffs. So, you know, like I liked how there was just, you know, like I guess you would say no panic even after, you know, Colorado took the lead, just you know, stayed with it and took over. And, you know, and just one more quick thing as for the hit on Rantanen by Ekholm, there was nothing wrong with that. That's a clean hit. I mean, I mean, you know, like I understand the mentality of Colorado thinking, well, like, you know, he's a star player, but, you know, Ekholm, I mean, like, there's absolutely no reason for him to fight.
No, that was a clean hit. Thanks, Sir Robert. And yeah, it was 2-1 Colorado. 4 minutes left in the first period. They did have two goals on six shots, even though the Oilers were carrying most of the play.
Yeah, no,
they definitely stuck with it.
The Oilers were the better team throughout the night, and at the end of the night, the 2 points went to the team that was the better team.
Calgary tomorrow.
Different kind
last
of game.
Last BOA of the season.
Yeah, different kind of game. The emotion and the intensity won't be as high as the games against Colorado. But because it's Calgary, there's always a little bit extra. The Calgary Flames will have emotion in the game. They'll have intensity in the game. They'll have a lot of young players that are going to be trying to make a name for themselves. So I would imagine you're going to see the Flames put out a very good effort. But this is an Oilers team right now that they should go into Calgary. They should find a way to get 2 points.
All right. Oilers win 6-2. They're in the playoffs. You'll hear from Leon Draisaitl when we get back to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
45 seconds to go in the man advantage. Puck gets to the middle. Mizestad across. Right wing. Oh, what a save by Skinner coming across. A one-time shot off the right wing by Rantanen. Great save made by Skinner.
Skinner gets the win. Makes 21 saves. Oilers beat the Avalanche 6-2 to clinch a playoff spot. They save the game there for Skinner for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. So, yeah, the Oilers win it. The Coyotes do beat the Golden Knights 7-4. So, the Golden Knights remain at 92 points, and the LA Kings are at 91. So, the Pacific Division, 6 games left for Vancouver. They have 102. 7 games left for the Oilers. They have 97. Vegas and LA both with 6 games left, and Vegas with the 1-point lead. So, right now, Vegas is the Oilers' first-round opponent. If nothing changes, but as Rob was saying, he thinks LA has a bit of an easier schedule, so maybe they'll move up into third. Still possible for the Oilers to get first. Still possible for them to drop down to third, though kind of unlikely with that point separation. The Avalanche, with the loss tonight, remain 3 points behind the Dallas Stars for first in the Central. Dallas has won 8 in a row. They have 105 points. Colorado 102, Winnipeg 98, and then Nashville will be one of the two wildcard teams. They have 92 points after they had that incredible unbeaten run a couple of weeks ago. All right, so we're right back at it tomorrow. Our next game broadcast for the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers, 6:30 for the face-off show. The puck will drop at 8. It is the Oilers at the Calgary Flames. Big thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer here at Rogers Place, and to Angie Quinnell, our studio producer, back at 6:30. Ched, we have been live in Studio 99. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.